You are tuned in to a fireside chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Greetings, and welcome to A Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I'm your host, Lance White. Tonight, my guest is Timothy Glenn. Timothy is an author, astrologer, numerologist, and spiritual reader. He came into this life without the veils pulled all the way down, like many of us. He never fit into the real world. Early years include music, voice, and exposure to astrology. Theatrical training and performance prepared him for a brief stint as a minister. He has done past life regression, sound healing, astrology, and now does multidimensional soul purpose readings. You can find out more on his website at www.soulpurposereadings.com. So let's welcome Timothy back to the show now. Hi, Timothy. How are you?
I'm doing just fine. How about you?
Oh, good. Well, we survived like three fires up here in Northern California since I saw you last.
Well, in fact, the last you saw me, we were within a mile of where that big one started.
It started right there. Exactly.
Yep, right by your birthday cabin.
That's right. Where you graciously did another wonderful soul purpose reading for me. And I just have to put in a little plug here because Timothy is one of the best, I think, readers that I have ever found. And I feel like I have I have no desire to look anywhere else for a reading other than you. So I just want to let people know that if you're interested at all in having a reading and one that means something to you personally, yours are the best.
Well, thank you.
And you were in the process of moving, so how do people get hold of you now? Are you back up in shape?
Yeah, I'm finally settling down now. I did end up with a total of 4 changes of residence in less than a year. Yeah,
wow.
four in less than a year, and 3 of them within 2 months.
Wow.
Yes, and I was even without phone service for a while. So soon after we had done that first show, there was this deluge of people trying to get a hold of me. And on. And there were messages that got lost and emails that got lost. So if anybody listening was one of those people, go ahead, try again. You can just go to the website and use the email, and that'll be the easiest way.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. And something that I've just been introduced to by you is another, you're such a multifaceted person. You've come in to help with the shift of the ages, and you have a lot of different wonderful talents, and I've been exposed to quite a few of them, not all of them, but the latest is your book, your first book in a series called The Zephyrus Archives, Volume 1, Mission of Eternity. And I haven't read it yet, so I don't want to spoil it for the readers because I don't know what's in it.
But, we won't spoil it for you, then.
Right. Would you like to share anything about that tonight just to let people know about your first book?
Well, it's the first in a series of 6, and this is from a lot of channeled material, a lot of past life regressions, both mine and other people's, of those who lived in the time and place of a guy named Yeshua, commonly known as Jesus.
And, Jesus Christ.
Yes, Jesus.
Right.
Yes. Jesus is the English rendering of the Roman rendering of the name Yeshua.
And Yeshua.
In the book, we used the name Yeshua for 2 reasons. First, his name was Yeshua. And second, it would be much better to distance the historical Yeshua from the storybook Jesus.
Yeah, right, right.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, and now, it's written as narrative nonfiction. Written as a narrative, that means it reads like a novel. And if anybody wants to regard it as fiction, that's fine. That's your interpretation. No big deal.
Hmm. But in truth, a lot of this material came from sources that you have personally verified, and you have actually, I think, haven't you actually seen some of these occurrences in your mind's eye or been there?
Oh, totally, yeah.
So,
and a lot of it also is backed up by research.
And, of course, you... so special is that you have uncovered the Pythagorean numerology for soul readings, and it's kind of not many people know about it, and you delved into the books and really pulled it out and used it actively as part of the reading. So,
right.
So that's one thing I appreciate is people who really do their research and research and homework. Are there going to be...
All right, I keep losing you. That's the second time you've cut out.
Oh, are there going to be surprises in the book?
I guess it depends on who you are. If you've done a lot of the research, then it wouldn't be such a surprise. For example, one of my friends was telling somebody else about the series, and she was mentioning that Yeshua did not actually die at the crucifixion. They had actually staged a fake execution to sneak him out of the country.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman said, "Oh, you don't need to do past life regressions to get that. You can. That's available through research."
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, other people have known this, and there's a lot written out there on it too. But that can push a lot of people's buttons to hear that. And it's just that since so much of this is drawn from the past life regressions and the channelings, it's what we might call pretty real. And so, any surprise would be that. You've been bought into the storybook rendition. The story they told us in Sunday school, that one?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, forget that one.
Right. Yeah. I did when I was a kid.
Yeah. Yeah, so the series will unfold, and the crucifixion actually won't occur until Volume 4.
Wow.
So there's lots of time to get to know Yeshua and those around him and what was really going on there, etc.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, actually, to get into the period of the time and get to know the people flesh out the details.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, so it's a fun read for the most part because it is written as though it were a novel.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it a lot more accessible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to change the subject a little bit because we have a mutual friend, George Kavassalis, and I've been hearing a lot of internet chatter and questions about the chakra system. And George is a proponent of... he has actually been one of the few people that has pointed out that the chakra system is a system that is designed for control and manipulation. So many people have started removing their chakras. Some people had never had them in the first place. I have a friend who was born without them, and so there's a lot of information floating around about this. What is your take on this and the Proterian view?
Oh boy, that's a big one.
Well, good.
you want to go on a nice long journey with this one?
Oh yeah, let's do it.
Okay, let's go for the gusto. It was also an adventure in discovery as the years unfolded. In fact, years and years ago, about 20 years ago, I wrote an article called "The Legend of B Flat."
Hmm.
And, yeah, sounds strange, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The Legend of B-flat. And so I'll just start with that and play with it, and you can fill in as we go. Now,
okay.
I started off talking about birth, and since I'm into astrology, for those of you who speak astrobabble, it's the ninth house Aquarius sun and the Aquarius midheaven, and then Aquarius, Mars, Aquarius, Mercury. And so if you look at my chart, that's up at the top. So you would say I was born as a very top-heavy Aquarius.
Okay.
All right. Now, this at first might seem a little unrelated, but when I was a kid in the 50s, and I was taking my piano lessons in the early days, I became obsessed with the note B-flat. And I would just play that one note again and again and again. And like the family would be at dinner, and I'd be sitting at the piano, and I'd just boing, 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 boing on B-flat. And it's like, Timmy, what are you doing? I'm playing B-flat. Well, play something musical. Quit playing the same note over again. But this is B-flat. This is my favorite note. And we just go on. This is a funny note. Don't you think this is a funny note? And I would, you know, when other people would come to the house, I'd play B-flat for them. Don't you like this note? So that was one of these obsessions. And, of course, the family made it very difficult for me to do that in their presence. So
right.
I longed for those times when I was home alone and I could just play B-flat as much as I wanted.
Wow.
But years later, in fact, in 1976, I was studying all kinds of stuff, and it was through the teachings of St. Max, as I called him, if you're familiar with Max Heindel, Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception, and so forth.
No.
Okay, anyway, that was St. Max. But that's okay. When I found that there was a correlation between the musical tones and the astrological signs, and wouldn't you know, the sign that that corresponds with B-flat was Aquarius.
Oh.
So I was just obsessed with the keynote of all that Aquarius energy I had in my chart.
Wow. Amazing.
Yeah, very cool. But anyway, in the mid-70s, I had the, well, we'll call it the good fortune, and it was planned before birth, but we'll call it good fortune, to have really cool teachers. Very cool teachers. And they had recommended that we completely bypass all of this stuff with the chakras.
Huh.
Yeah. Now, you know, not many people out there teach that.
Right.
So
right. That's radical.
Yeah. And so we were just told, we're just going to bypass all of that. Don't worry about it. So I just didn't do anything with it. So around at the same time, I'm experimenting with all kinds of the teachings, learning everything from everywhere. And, of course, we've got this 35-year-old system that just did not resonate with me. And since I was so into music and sound, as well as the spirituality, you would think this would work for me, but it just didn't. It's this teaching that is so common out there, it makes me cringe. People will also another thing you just experienced is the music that I produce with the singing bowls and
that was magnificent.
Harmonic overtoning and all of that, yeah.
Oh, that was just fabulous.
Thank you.
And, you really should do that on CDs, and I mean, they are just magnificent.
This will be done.
Good. Okay.
Yes. Okay. So in this system that these people teach out here, you start with the note C, and that's the root chakra. And so you go up the scale, the diatonic scale, chakra by chakra. Hmm. And so when people, you know, see one of those bowls, they say, oh, which chakra is that?
Mm-hmm,
and so it's all carved in stone that starting at your root chakra, that is C.
Mm.
And so that system didn't work for me at all. I played around with it. It just didn't work. And I also realized, since I had read that stuff in St. Max, that C is Aries. Now, when the system was introduced 3,500 years ago, we were in the great age of Aries. You know, we're currently moving into the age of Aquarius from the age of Pisces, and back then we were in the age of Aries, and the keynote for that is C.
Mm.
So that's okay. And, you know, Aries is the first sign of the zodiac and blah, 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 blah. But still, even thinking in terms of that, it didn't work for me, so I didn't do it. Besides, we were told, don't play with the chakras. It's
right.
Only going to mess up what we're doing here.
Okay,
so the following year, in 1977, there was a family dinner, and Uncle John was there, and so he and Mom were talking about their long-deceased parents and so forth, and there was this talk about when Grandpa had died. Mm-hmm. And my mother said, oh, yeah, Timmy was the one who found him. And that was true, okay? Because they lived across the street from us, and so Grandpa was a retired concert pianist, and I had lessons every day.
Oh.
And so I'd go in, we'd have our lesson for a half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it would be, and then he would go do his reading time while I would practice, and then he'd come back and we would do a brief review.
Wow, that's wonderful.
And so one time, I couldn't understand what he was telling me, and I knew when he would come back, he'd be very upset if I couldn't play the piece for him. And so I thought, oh, okay, I have to go out there. So I went out to the screened-in porch, and he was in the midst of his fatal heart attack.
Oh.
And so... So when my mom said, oh, yeah, Timmy was the one who found him, my uncle immediately said, oh, yeah, Timmy was in there playing B-flat. And I just kept quiet, but it was so funny because in family vernacular, Timmy was playing B-flat means Timmy was practicing the piano.
Oh.
Yeah, I mean, like, here it is after 20 years, and automatically their remembering was all about B-flat.
Wow. Huh.
Yeah, so, yeah, the obsession would be flat. But in the early 80s, conducting a satsang, one of the people in the group said that she had trouble with my note because we would begin and end by doing a chant. And I didn't realize I was always starting on the same note. So she just had trouble with my note. She said, well, I don't know if it's in my range or whatever. And so, well, there happened to be a grand piano sitting there, so I went over there, and sure enough, I was always doing the chants on B flat.
Oh.
Yeah. But it didn't work for her because she was an Aries, so that's okay.
Hmm.
But I remembered that incident, you know, like in the early 90s, because I, at that time, was between live-in relationships, so I usually woke up by myself in the morning, and I just went to the couch and sat down and started chanting. And so, having remembered that, I thought, well, I wonder. Well, there was a grand piano 5 feet away, so I went over there, and sure enough, I'm right on B-flat. And so, from that time forward, I always went to the piano instead of the couch in the morning and start chanting, and I would check to see if I was on B-flat. And if I was feeling good, my energies were right, I would be right smack on B-flat. But if I were feeling off, I would probably be in the cracks or maybe down to A or whatever.
Mm.
So I really got into doing that. But I also had one of my favorite students at the time learning the scale of B-flat. And so one morning I just was moved to start doing the B-flat scale as I started chanting. And I felt this energy just go right up the chakra column.
Oh.
And so that's when I discovered what I called astrological chakra tuning.
Huh.
And that is, if you don't start at C, unless you're in Aries, you start at the note that corresponds with your sun sign. It really does a lot more in that energy column we call the chakra column. So I actually did something with the chakras for the first time ever, and I was doing workshops called astrological chakra tuning. But shortly before that, like maybe he anticipated this, one of my teachers showed me a diagram from ancient China of chakras, and there were only 5 of them, and none of them were the same as the 7 that they taught about in India.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was pointed out that if you look at the keyboard, if you're in the key of C, you can just go up the white keys. That's your diatonic scale. And then those other 5 chakras are placed where the black keys are.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we actually have 12 tones in each octave of our musical mm-hmm. system here. Mm-hmm. So I was told at that time that, you know, sure, go ahead and play with this, but remember, use all 12 tones, et cetera. And so as I was presenting this, then I was also publicly channeling Proterian at the time, and Proterian said, yes, you can play with this, it will help you out, because what's happening is the chakra system is returning to being a single pillar of light.
A single pillar of light?
It used to be a single pillar of light.
Well, that makes a lot of sense.
And then these beings that we've talked about a lot started tweaking the human beings here.
That, right.
And they didn't just break up that column of light. It's more like they took ages, thousands of years, to get humans to accept this as reality. They slowly, surgically severed the column of light into all these sections.
Mm-hmm.
And then through the ages, through thousands of years, they started tweaking it so they would turn the chakras or those sections to move horizontally rather than vertically. They changed the orientation. Yeah, they totally changed the orientation.
Wow.
Yeah. And then about, you know, 96, 97, I took some workshops from David Wagner at Advanced Tachyon Technologies, and he's really into verticalizing the chakra column. And so, you know, like in the workshop, we would go out and train with trees to help us verticalize. Because he pointed out, we're the only creatures on this planet that run this horizontal energy in that column. Like the trees just have that perfectly verticalized field. And so that's where we started doing that. And one of the analogies was, if you remember when you were in school and you looked in your science book and they had a picture of the Earth and they were showing you the flow of magnetic lines, like, you know, where it would, you know, the lines would come down through the North Pole, come out the South Pole, and loop up around? Okay. What was pointed out then is we used to look like that. That's how trees run their energies. That's how animals run their energies, et cetera. So we would be then returning to being that, having that single pillar of energy rather than having it broken up into the chakras. And it was really quite a feat by these other beings who spent so many thousands of years tweaking us to be able to accept it, that it would be natural for our chakras to run the energies horizontally. In fact, Proterian then later pointed out when asked that it was tried many times to get the whole thing to be in a horizontal orientation, but the humans just couldn't accept it. So these beings finally compromised. They kept the crown chakra and the root chakra verticalized and then made the others horizontal. And, of course, it took thousands of years to turn this whole thing into a religion. And as we know, people today religiously adhere to this as being our natural state.
Right. That's right.
Yes.
That's
so,
right.
What
would be the upshot of having a horizontal chakra system? That there would be no connection to the vertical axis, which would be the above and below, right?
Yeah, which also cuts off our connection to spirit.
Yeah, exactly, and that's just one of many ways that we have been cut off from spirit in the matrix.
Yeah. So, and again, yeah, you're right, just one more.
Right.
But that was a pretty significant one, and it's interesting that you know, people like George have talked about this and not very many others.
That's right, that's right.
And people Carla still
Fox
want to...
Okay,
go ahead.
Carla Fox mentions it, and she works with removing chakras for people who are interested in it, and she is... a proponent of the no chakra system, meaning going from from a division into unity. And that's how I see it, is you're moving from something that has been intentionally divided for control purposes, and it is, if we can move it back into unity consciousness.
Right. Yeah, so the approach depends on what works for you. Some people find it easier to just verticalize it so then it all starts fusing as just that one flow of energy again. But
well,
some
there's
people
also, in George's book, there is a diagram that connects the chakra system to the rings of Saturn, ironically. And he has a little bit more complicated diagram about how they work and how they can be used to, you know, to for input and for control as well from Saturn.
Yeah, and it's all about removing the humans from their natural state. So by establishing that horizontal orientation of those chakras, they cut off our natural flow of energy. And that just helped cut us off more from source, which is spirit. And, of course, then we're much more easily limited and manipulated. Yeah, the planetary controllers really like that system. And as I said earlier, you know, they ended up turning it into a religion. I mean, look how many people do all of this stuff. They devote their lives to it, and it's like holy and righteous to be working in certain ways and doing all these spiritual exercises with those horizontal orientations.
Right, and it keeps you searching and not finding anything for a whole lifetime because you can't get anywhere that way. which is why they call this the earthly maze.
In fact, they keep you doing that for many lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. Many.
Yeah. So I look back and I think, God, all the way back to the 70s when I just happened to stumble upon those teachers who just said, oh, don't play with the chakras. We're just going to bypass all of that.
Mm-hmm.
That was very fortunate.
I love it. I love it. Well, now...
Pure coincidence, right?
Yeah, of course. Just mere accident. Where do you feel like... What's your sense of where we're at in terms of the actual energetics of the shift that we all know hasn't happened yet? And it seems like there are a lot of signs that are revealing themselves. And I was just wondering if you would enjoy offering a take on your view of the world as it is today.
Oh, boy, that's fun. All right. Well, you know, recently our friend Inelia Benz published that article that got reblogged in quite a lot of places, The Splitting of the Worlds.
Oh, yes. Excellent
article. That one? Yeah, that was beautiful. The Splitting of the Worlds, Coming to a Planet Near You. And that is what we've all been anticipating and talking about for decades here, and that is that we would eventually have those of us who were spiritually oriented and we wanted to co-create a love-based reality, we would simply, quote-unquote, split off from the rest of those who wanted to remain in the fear-based limitation, etc. And so we are in the process of that now. And as Inelia pointed out, the splitting of the worlds has been drastically accelerated. And how much the acceleration is, well, we can play with figures, but you might say what might have taken 50 or 60 years is going to take 5 or 6 years.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's like we have really put the pedal to the metal because we got to the point that we decided this is enough piddle farting around. Let's get her done.
Right, right.
And I mentioned... the last time I was on, in the beginning of August, I had mentioned that in the beginning of a Proterian channeling session, just like the month or maybe 2 months before that, they started off in the beginning by asking, have any of you been feeling discombobulated lately? Out of sorts, out of balance, can't get grounded, can't get a foothold, can't get a handhold.
Right.
Well, you can relate.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, and what they said at that time was, this is because we are now actually disengaging from the matrix.
And so that's the analogy, a good sign.
Oh, that's a wonderful sign.
Yeah.
And so the analogy they threw in there was from the first Matrix film. They said that those of us who are doing this are in the position of Neo being removed from the tank.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember, all those tubes that had him connected to the Matrix reality were going pop, pop, pop. The only thing is this is taking months instead of seconds.
Right.
Yes, but we are really, literally disengaging. And they also referred back to channeling sessions, you know, 4, 5, 6 years ago when they were saying we were going to come to the point where we had to let go of all external points of reference. And so being discombobulated and not being able to get... the feeling that, we're really connected to things out here in the world, that's actually good because all of our external points of reference have been the Matrix. So we're
exactly.
in the process of letting it all go. And so it's a natural process that's in progress, and just go along for the ride and have fun, right?
And walk into the unknown.
There you go. Delight in the mystery.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, I do know that the cities are set up as sacred geometry cities to capture energy and to use it and to also to control the populace. So there's a lot of frequency modulation going on and technology used to do that. I mean, it's global as well. I mean, they can beam all kinds of technological programs that are running so to keep us in fear and to keep us thinking in certain ways. But I think those are breaking loose they're just not able to control as many people as they used to.
Well, let's just say that the spiritually weak are vulnerable when it comes to those technologies.
Mm-hmm,
for those
mm-hmm.
becoming spiritually stronger day by day and becoming more beautiful embodiments of the divine love, well, that's stronger. So we're not as vulnerable to that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not nearly as effective. But they won't give up trying new things.
Well, yes, and there seems to be a lot of false flags hitting the radar. That's, you know, Ebola and all kinds of different things are popping up to attract our attention and possibly divert us away from what we might be seeing if we weren't looking in that direction.
And speaking of Ebola, really, do any of us know that there is any Ebola? Do you know that?
I personally don't, myself, but...
No. What if there is none? That's perfectly possible.
It is. Yes, it is terribly possible.
And it could be something else, even if there is some form of weaponized virus or whatever out there. It may not be Ebola. It could be anything else, even if there is something really there. But it's all that media hype. And remember last time we were talking about how the system uses the media to help create the reality the system wants.
Mm-hmm.
See, they get the people all scared, like you just mentioned. They keep the people in fear. And everybody's going on, oh, Ebola, Ebola, oh, it's bad, oh, terrible things are going to happen, oh, my God. And all of that energy feeds right into what these beings are trying to create. And remember, these archons and so forth are not life. They cannot live life. They cannot create life. All they can do is influence us in life to do what they want to do.
Exactly.
And so they use the masses through the media to shift the consciousness, shift the thoughts and the emotions toward creating what the archons want. And these people who sit there and watch that television and think they're getting something true are just going to fall right into the trap. And they're going to put their own divine creative energy into creating something like, you know, Ebola. And, of course, it's just an exercise in being able to establish quarantines and establish more control, blah, 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 blah.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Same old game.
Well, apparently some people may be wanting to play that game. So if there are enough that have chosen that, they'll manifest it.
And
but
they can have
frankly,
pleasure.
For me, I choose not to participate in that game. There are better ones than that.
Exactly. Yeah. So they can have your share too, right?
Right. Right.
Yeah. So the sheeple, as they're often called, will just be misled again and again to having their own divine creative energy channeled into creating wars, creating famines, creating disease, and blah, 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 all on down the list.
Mm-hmm.
And there are so many of us. There are too many people that know too much now.
Oh, yes. Way too many. Way too many. Veterans Today is coming out with a series of articles on the alien agenda, and it's I think they're up to about the eighth article now, and it goes very deeply into what's really going on behind the scenes in the military, and you know, through the Illuminati and through, you know, their plans and the holographic projections of space wars and all kinds of other stuff. It's very interesting reading. I think Preston James is the author. It's a wonderful read. And so that's close to being mainstream. And but, you know, the mainstream hasn't really cracked yet, but I look for that to happen at some point. It would be a natural occurrence as part of the collapse of the old world order.
Yeah, there is no new in new world order.
No. New just like the old.
Yep. Yeah, so in the very earliest Proterian channelings, One thing they wanted people to understand is the beings who run the affairs of your planet don't live on it.
Right. This is a very important point.
Yes.
Can you elaborate on that a bit?
Well, shall we say that we have never been alone because life on this planet was seeded here, and so it was, even E.T. beings were mixing up the initial cosmic soup here.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
It's been manipulated from off-world from the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And we are just like this garden where they grow things that they want, laboratory where they experiment with things that they want to experiment with, etc.
Mm-hmm.
But we are able to wake up in the midst of this and say, we're finished.
You're right. We're done.
Yep. Thanks anyway.
Well, if you look
but
at the trends...
But there are so
of,
many... Oh, go ahead.
Well, if you look at the trends of history over thousands of years, you see the same things recurring over and over and recycling, and even the astrological signs are set up to recycle and recur. So I suspect that this is all part of a matrix program that keeps us recycling, and because we are like batteries that have energy, these beings feed off of our anger and our hate and our fear and also our worship. And our positive emotions are all funneled up in use too. So we're just like cattle that are milked for our energies and our subtle energies.
Yeah, so, and George points out in his book what you just mentioned, that they feed off the positive energies too, because they get people to worship them and love them.
Yes.
And they just
yes.
soak that energy up.
Can you imagine what it must feel like to say there's an event where the Pope is present and millions of people around the world are just worshiping and falling at his feet, and all of that energy that they're giving away and disempowering themselves with is going somewhere, and it's going to the people who, the beings who run the matrix, and they are just, you know, it's like a narcotic, you know, the biggest narcotic rush you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, and it's going to the beings who use people like the Pope as puppets.
Yes, the Pope is a puppet. Yes, that's
yeah.
very important.
Yes, as Proterian often points out, if you can see them, they are grunt level.
Right, exactly. And that goes for the presidents and the various leaders of the world as well.
Yeah, and so even on the human level, people like prime ministers, presidents, popes, and so forth are not high level.
Right, right. That's right.
You know,
managerial
there's a group of,
staff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was a group of hackers that said that they found that there, I think it was 27 levels of security above Obama.
Right.
As, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it starts at 33, which is ironically where the 33rd degree of the Masonic esoteric principle. So that indicates that there are many higher levels. And it's ironic that corporations have access to those levels.
Well, yeah, they found that there were all those levels of security above Obama, and at that point it went into the private sector.
Right. Yes. Isn't yeah. that interesting?
Yeah.
And that's when they tell him, you don't have a need to know.
Yes, and they give him the marching orders and whatever else.
Right, right. So it really is a game played by idiots, or, what was it Shakespeare said, all the world's a stage?
And we're the players.
And we are the players, but we can have the choice of being conscious players, conscious of ourselves in a role, or we can be unconscious players in which we're manipulated and unaware of the unconscious manipulations that are going on behind the scenes.
We can turn this into improvisational theater.
Oh, now I like that idea.
We are
not about flipping switches.
Right, we're not memorizing somebody else's written lines.
Right.
And playing from a script. This becomes improvisational theater then.
Absolutely. Yeah, our life is like a blank canvas. It's not set in stone, and it can change in any moment, in any direction.
That's right.
Look at how this conversation has shifted and changed, and, that's an example of being in the moment.
Yeah. So, we went a long way from B-flat, didn't we?
Oh, yes, we did.
But I wonder what some of the people out here are thinking about if they've never encountered what we were talking about with the chakra being, or chakra system actually being the chakra scam, a control mechanism. It's not our natural state. There is so much here that is simply not natural, but has taken eons and eons to get beings here to accept it, that this is just natural. You know, like the boiling frogs analogy there.
Yes.
It takes
It seems like we should be rolling in bubbles by now because there's so much going on. Cell phones are quite the latest distraction, aren't they?
I missed that one.
Cell phones.
Cell phones, yeah. I still don't have one.
I don't either.
Okay.
No, we have natural telepathic abilities, and I find for myself that a cell phone is an attempt to model the abilities that we have. And if you really want to develop them, you want to exercise those abilities without the tools and the the toys that take the place of developing those abilities.
Yeah. Instead of internal creation, we've gotten into this external manifestation.
Yes, yes. And also I heard that there's the energy of like a cloud around somebody who has a cell phone. So there is, they're using cell phones in a way that's technologically advanced as well.
Yeah, and they've got technologies that most people have not even dreamed of or would think was just science fiction.
Well, yes, and that takes us to the breakaway civilization, that there is an aspect of society that has been working privately for decades, and they have technology that literally is beyond the Earth. It's like Star Trek, and they are able to break away from the Earth whenever they want to. So that it does exist.
Yes, but then there are those of us who are simply transcending all of this.
Well, that's my preference.
Yes. Because once we return to our natural state of being, we could play with technologies and manifest them if we wanted to, but we would not be dependent on them.
Exactly. Exactly, and we can put them down, or up, or sideways, or, invent new things.
Yeah, the Protarians say that they often will have fun playing games where they manifest themselves with technologies, but it's like they just create the technologies, they just manifest them. Okay, this will be fun, we'll play this.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're done playing that game, they're, okay, poof, it's gone.
I like that.
Yeah,
I like that. They sound great.
Yeah, because as they like to point out that things like space and time are toys in their reality.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a child sitting down at the table and playing with clay and making things. They make things out of space and time, and the only difference is we do that too, but we are enslaved to our toys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, they're just not enslaved. So people here today are becoming more and more dependent to the point that they're being enslaved by technology.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Stunning to see some of these people, especially younger ones, who are just totally into the technology, and they cannot do some of the most basic functions that we grew up with, and they're lost. They can't do it without their technology.
Mm-hmm. And wait until they... the powers that be roll out the technological goodies that are designed to really snare us, that are implants, like, you know, something to enhance brain function or physical function or both, and beauty and non-aging and the rest of it. There will be some kind of upsurgence of people trying things technologically just to see what happens. And once you go down the technological path, it's pretty hard to reverse that once you've had implants and you've started altering your basic organic structures.
Yeah, and that's just part of this inorganic force that is trying to completely take over and even eliminate organic life as we know it.
That's right. Would you say that that is one way that people can recognize the force, the archons, or inorganic forces that are that are trying to remove humanity? That if it's for life or pro-life and organic, then it's most likely not part of the system that is here to destroy.
Right. And, you know, we come to the point where our sense of resonance gets strong enough that we can just feel it. We pick up the vibe and we know the difference.
That's right. That's right. Well, you know, one of the biggest things that is still going on is the fluoride in the water. And that is it's inorganic and it's toxic. And so the corporations sell it to distribute in the water. And it was used in Hitler's Germany to dumb down the masses. Well, we're not much different here, because here we are with inorganic fluoride accumulating in our pineal glands, and it attracts it like a magnet because it's a crystalline form. And so when it does attract enough of the fluoride, the pineal gland calcifies and it turns into stone. And I wonder if there isn't some kind of connection to the analogy of Lot's wife turning to stone.
She turned into a pillar of salt.
Oh, that's right, a pillar of salt. Well, we'll make one up then.
Yeah.
We'll make up an analogy. We'll create one on the fly.
Yeah.
But seriously, you know,
If any of our glands or organs get calcified to that extent, they're not going to function. It's not going to be a natural organic life for us. So anything that's outside our natural, healthy, organic way of living is immediately suspect as being of the Matrix and being used by these other entities to take over the biological life on this planet, and really to take over and maybe even destroy the entire biosphere itself.
Yes, yes. And I think people need to come to grips with that, because it does appear to be the agenda, at least one of the major agendas that's going on right now.
Yes, and again, we don't need to fear it. We don't need to feed a lot of energy into it. Just realize that we have the ability to transcend all of this.
Right.
And we can just leave that where it is, and they'll be spinning their wheels in the mud, and they'll go ahead and do their thing, whatever that is, and we will simply co-create an entirely new reality that does resonate with us.
Yes, absolutely. And not to take what they're doing too seriously, because I know many people get sucked down the rabbit hole of conspiracy facts. And it's a huge rabbit hole. you know, it's quite large, and you can easily find yourself in a state of a shock, horror, awe, and depression just finding out some of the things that are going on. But I would recommend letting things be as they are, and they will work themselves out.
Yes, and you know, we were talking last time about this very thing, and it's just a matter of understanding that if you fight it, you feed it. And there is there's your TMI level. When is it too much information?
Yes, right.
Yes, we want to be aware of what's going on. We want to understand the system and basically how it works. We want to know the machinations of the game. Mm-hmm. So then we don't get sideswiped. We don't get blindswided. So if you don't get blindsided, you're not going to get trapped, okay? So that's cool. You know what's going on, but if you take it so far that it's really got its hooks in you because it gets your emotional body riled up, well, then you've got a little problem. And that's part of the ingenious design of the Matrix. Because if you judge any part of it, it's got you. And, of course, it's designed to put you in judgment.
Yes, exactly.
If you fear any part of it, it's got you.
It's got
it's designed to make you be in fear.
That's right. That's right.
And if you're angry with any part of it, it's got you.
That's
and, of course,
right.
it's designed to just piss you off.
Right.
That's
absolutely
ingenious.
True. Yep. At every turn. So we have plenty of opportunities to resist the programming around us and to practice neutrality and walking the middle path.
Ah, gee, didn't somebody like Buddha suggest that one?
Yes, yes.
Walk the middle path, yeah.
No.
Yeah. So it's an interesting adventure right now, and yeah, we can go into all of the different facets of what's going on technologically, and we can talk about, like, you know, Monsanto and the GMO adventures and everything else out there, but really, just understanding the basics is enough, and understand that's just not something that resonates with us.
Right, right.
And
right.
you know, we can look at it and we can talk to other people about it, we can help expose it, and as we were talking about last time, there are no rules here. So if your spirit moves you to take some form of action that looks political or whatever, that's fine. There are no rules. I mean, basically it's just people saying, "Excuse us, will you stop poisoning us?"
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Well, I do know that when enough people write to complain about something, it often will result in making changes. For instance, and with cell phone charges, a friend of mine said that he was tired of all these, you know, charges that they insisted on adding on, and they sneak in things. And apparently there was a case where enough people wrote into the company to complain about their practices that they had to give refunds and stop doing that. So, you know, our voices are important, and it is important to express ourselves.
And as long as you can do it from a space of neutrality,
right?
Then
right.
you're far more effective.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So
that's
the game
right.
goes on. And when I was living in Sedona, a friend and I used to talk about all this stuff, and we'd always close our sessions by saying, "Well, it's a fascinating movie, and we've got good seats."
Oh, right, right. We paid the price, so we might as well enjoy the show.
Yeah. But, yeah, as you said, you know, letting our voices be heard, that does, you know, definitely have an impact there. I mean, how many times have people just flooded their Congress critters with messages of "don't do this" or blah, 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 and they actually back off.
And even though they might be paid to do otherwise, if enough people protest, they are there to follow the law of the land. And even though they're privately paid to do the opposite, to follow the set of government. So.
Yeah, but you know, if they push so far and there's pushback, then they'll back off.
Yes. Well, that happened in Poland with a friend of mine, Julian Rose. Got
Julian
GMO.
Rose was on with you last week.
Oh, was he? Yes. Well, he got GMOs banned in Poland for a while. I mean, there's still, you know, there's still little skirmishes, but if they can do it over there, then we're messing around with labeling in the United States. We should just go straight for the jugular and ban them entirely, outright, you know, as dangerous. So we're not thinking big enough.
Well, if we could do it all, that would be good, because, like, one state could ban GMOs, but if they don't have labeling, that means people can slip GMO products in.
Oh, absolutely, and they've been sneakily,
stories.
adding things that have our GMO products that sound like they're not. Corn syrup is one of them. There's all kinds of things that they're doing, especially with artificial sweeteners, which are very damaging.
But that's a whole other story.
We have about enough time for you to offer some kind of closing statement, and then mention your website so people can find you and get one of those wonderful readings that I was talking about.
Okay. Yeah, the website is Soul, that's S-O-U-L, soulpurposereadings.com. And for closing statements, let's just go back to one of our favorites, and that's a standby. Protarian's all-purpose three-step formula. 1, come from a loving heart. 2, put one foot in front of the other. 3, walk in faith.
Beautiful. Just beautiful. Well, Timothy, thank you again for coming on the show. I always love talking to you, and you're just a fountain of wisdom, and I really hope that the people will get readings from you, because they'll be so pleasantly surprised.
Well, cool.
Thank you again.
All righty. Take care.
All right, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, good night.